And on RN, this is Books and Arts Daily. Well, we've been looking at the old, now it's time for the new. New 13 is a group show of Australia's promising new artists. It's currently on at the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art, ACCA, which is in Melbourne. The show's in its 11th year. In the past, it's been a springboard for such artists as Angelica Massetti, Anastasia Close, Daniel von Sturmer, who went on to represent Australia at the Venice Biennale. So what does this year's show hold? Our producer, Miyuki Yokoranta, has been to have a look, and she joins me now. Hi, Miyuki.
Hello, Michael.
What's concerning this generation of artists?
Well, look, I went down to the show, and what I took away from it was that these artists are really interested in sort of getting behind the materials that have become their artist palette. And for these artists, we're talking scanners, we're talking computers. So what you're actually seeing is sort of exposed wires or the guts of a scanner that have been reprinted in film. So from my understanding is they're trying to get into some technical knowledge and really the idea of technology and how things work has come through for the show.
So the technology is its own subject.
Exactly.
Okay. And were these pieces commissioned for this show?
It is a commissioning process. So NACA gives over the space to these artists and gives over their technical team to allow these artists to really get into the space, make large-scale installations, and as far as I could tell, let their imagination run wild. So I went down to ACCA the other day, and I did a walk-around tour with Charlotte Day, who was the associate curator at the time, and she showed me what it was all about.
I'm Charlotte Day, and I'm an associate curator at the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art. We're about to enter into our new exhibition, which is New 13, but the first work in the show actually starts on the outside of the building and involves the foyer space.
And as we walk through the foyer, we have to negotiate a series of small square mirrors on the ground, reflected in various directions, light pinging from one to another, in a kind of relayed Morse code. The work is by artist Scott Mitchell, who wants to see sunlight in the darkest recesses of the gallery.
ACCA is quite a bunker. It shuts itself off from its surrounding environment. It has a kind of a moat of gravel that separates it from its neighbourhood. And inside the building, it's quite a haven, an air-conditioned space. It has very few windows. It turns most of its facade against the sun. And so the only windows it does have are very small slithers. And the sun barely makes it into the foyer of the gallery and definitely doesn't transgress into the gallery spaces. There's this isolation that art seeks in this space, and I was wondering about how you might go about unstitching this. After doing the calculations and working out how many mirrors I'd need, there's about 35 mirrors in total to get this light through to the back space, and you lose at least 10% of your energy with each mirror. Then you realise that by the time you get to the back, your light condition is really fragile. You've only got a fraction of the light that you have.
I mean, interestingly, the second piece that we come to, this new video work by Linda Tegg, also involves mirrors. So this was something that came into play as the exhibition developed. It wasn't something that we started with, but it ends up in a number of projects, light and kind of mirroring and screen effects.
Linda Tegg.
It's a video entitled Tortoise, and it brings a group of performers under a mirrored exoskeleton. The idea is quite simple, for the performers to come together and as a group conceal themselves with the mirrors and obfuscate their bodies, but it's like quite a difficult task.
And what we see projected is the harsh blue stone of the forecourt of the National Gallery of Victoria. And in front of it, a tessellation of large circular mirrors, like scales, overlapping, jittering, scuffling and moving as one.
I wanted some kind of creature or organism that would reflect sort of innumerable perspectives on the environment, that could potentially reflect its audience, that could fracture the space. And what you're not sort of seeing is all the internal negotiations that are going on to enable the tortoise to move smoothly or awkwardly through space. I'm definitely sensing a lot of connections and shared concerns with the works. There's definitely sort of a quiet, pared-back aesthetic has like an interest in the way that images evolve and languages evolve and transform.
Una figlia illegittima del fratello, Mademoiselle de l'Espinasse.
So this next project is by Alex Martinez-Rowe, and it's a project that revolves around the Milan Women's Bookstore Collective. Their ethos is very much around this idea of affidamento, which in English translates to entrustment. So it's an idea of working together to help each other to kind of succeed. The creative and intellectual processes often involve not like a singular authority or genius, but are really the outcome of a process of being together with each other. So there's a carpet, a blue carpet with a circle of white chairs, and each has a set of headphones on it. They all play the same recording, and the recording is a number of stories that are all examples of affidamento. So some are historical, some are contemporary, some are local. There's Virginia Woolf and Vita Sackville-West. There's Lady Gaga, and there's local artists Destiny Deacon and Virginia Fraser. So there's all different examples.
And what's wonderful about this is in the time we've been standing here, there's one individual sitting in the chair and,
yes.
and another individual has arrived.
Yes.
And slowly this kind of organic collective forms
exactly.
and deforms.
Exactly.
But they all arrive at their own point in the story.
Yes, there's certain things that recur the more you listen to them. You know, especially how often the relationships are kind of unexpected in the first instance, but then how special they have become. I know what I did want to do was to move away from a kind of more spectacular, glossy version of things and find artists that were working very much in a kind of explorative or speculative space, and this really pulling apart things or delving into things that you often are right with you or beside you, but you just take them at face value. You know, there's a lot of looking behind things or right into the material of it itself. As a whole, the exhibition feels that it retains quite a lot of thinking space around it, so that it offers you these points of access or reflection or illumination or understanding, but it's very much, they're always in motion and they're quite fluid and changeable, and it's not deterministic in any way.
Each room feels like an attempt to unravel a system, to crack the veneer of traditional form. And as always, with us are Scott's mirrors, reflecting the frail and decaying sunlight, pushing further into the gallery.
It moves through the other artist's work, and for myself it was confronting that I was transgressing in their space. It's not always the case for new, but in this new in particular, each artist has their own designated space. For me to come sort of tramping through with my beam of light or multiple beams of light and spilling light around the space is rude, if not kind of violent to the other kind of contained spaces.
So we're entering back into a very dark space, and there's one work on the wall that is a number of probably the tiniest LCD screens I've seen. So there's a kind of constellation of flashing screens, and then there's a large table that has a number of different LCD screens that have actually been pulled out of the frames and their supports, and also a small laptop piece.
I had to really walk up to these little screens on the wall because they look like they're floating in air.
Yeah.
And it's because...
Yeah, so they're quite magical, aren't they? Yeah, so all this work is by a Perth-based artist, Benjamin Forster. The wall-based piece is a constellation of tiny LCD screens, and they're all flashing. You see these kind of symbols that come up, and then there's kind of more like a transmission lines. And it's actually... It's 45 symbols that are from a particular ancient stone that hasn't been deciphered. It's as like as he is developing some kind of program that's trying to decipher these symbols. So the more they flash equates to the number of times they appear on the original tablet. So I think this is something he's interested in, you know, how you can use logic and a kind of technological methodology to actually... understand things or not understand them. So the final room in the exhibition features a
16mm film by Jess McNeil. She's been quite well known for her video works, and this is the first time she's actually worked in film. So for me, that's the kind of spirit of new that I'm really happy to be able to encourage, you know, artists to realise something that they haven't before. But what she's done in this piece is take the sensibility that she developed in digital video and try to apply it to the analogue film. This is shot at Trafalgar Square, and where in her previous works she'd digitally masked out every person that kind of crossed the fountain space, in this one, when the people are taken out of the scene starts to really just dissolve into the material, or it looks like it's dissolving into the materiality of the film itself.
Where normally we'd see a pedestrian pass by, an outline of their absence appears. A ghost-like form blocks out the background and then dissolves into a rainbow of chemically coloured cells, like a vibrant Petri dish, the film falling away into white.
The medium and the concept become so interconnected or merged with each other.
And for someone who doesn't come from a sort of 16 or 8mm background, it's fantastic, because there's a Len Lye, William Kentridge,
yes,
Dr. Brun kind of
feel about it,
where you walk in, you're like, oh, I know what this is. It's this wonderful kind of melange of digital and analogue, which
yes,
is completely unexpected.
Yeah, and I haven't seen many works that kind of do this, that function this way.
So that's Charlotte Day there, taking me on a tour. Charlotte has just finished up as the Associate Curator of the Australian Contemporary Centre for Art and is now Director of the Monash University Museum of Art.
And Mayuki, it sounds like quite a noisy show.
It is a bit noisy, isn't it? But there's so much sort of technology and you know, digital stuff in there, you couldn't really get away with it.
That sounds exciting. So when's it on?
So it's currently on, and it will be on until the 13th of May. You've still got time. And if you enjoy Charlotte's curation, if you get down there. She's also curated the 2013 Anne Land Award for Video and New Media Arts at the Australian Gallery for New South Wales, which is, I think that kicks off on the 16th of May.
So that other show is on in Melbourne at ACCA, the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art. Miyuki Yokoranta, thank you for dropping in.
My pleasure.
Miyuki is a producer with us here at Books and Arts Daily. That's the end of the program for today. We do this weekdays at 10.